The following program is a production of St. Peter the Rock Media and is brought to you by you. If you like it, consider making a donation and supporting Catholic radio programming on AM 1260 The Rock.
Go to am1260therock.com and click on the orange donate button.
Inevitably, all of us will ask God this one important question.
What do you want me to do? Why am I here? You're here on this planet for a reason. What do you want me to do? Why am I here? What do you want me to do? Why am I here?
Hello? Hello? Who is this?
This is God calling.
Then everything can seem so clear. AM 1260 The Rock presents God Calling. This locally produced program looks closer at stories of religious vocations from the priesthood to marriage, from parenting to the single life. And now here's your host, Paul Orlowski.
Thanks once again for joining us. I am Paul Orlowski, and we're joined by a special couple, a buddy of mine and his wife, that is Phil and Trish Lewandowski. And guys, welcome to God Calling.
It's awesome to be here. Thanks so much,
thanks,
Paul.
For
yeah,
us.
Yeah. Church, obviously, very important to both of your lives. Trish, I know your mom, very religious woman.
Yeah.
Where did you grow up?
I grew up in Painesville, Ohio, which is where we are again now. Went through St. Mary Painesville Grade School, Notre Dame Cathedral Latin for high school, and worked for the diocese for a while, and then out at St. Mary the Falls in Olmsted Falls as a director for faith formation for a while, which I still consider part of my growing up, even in my 20s and 30s.
Yeah. What was your home life like? Prayer daily or weekly Mass?
Certainly weekly Mass. We prayed daily at meals. My grandparents, my dad's parents, were very active in my brothers and my life, and they were more than daily prayers. Mm-hmm. And I think for me, a lot of my daily faith formation came out of witnessing their love for God and love for humans, love for the church.
Those examples aren't always present in today's world for people. And as a parent, we'll talk about that later, but as a parent, you got to make sure that that example is there.
Yeah, we work hard to make sure they know that everyone is loved and they're part of loving those people.
Phil, how about you? Where'd you grow up?
Yeah, so the Lord has had me on a fun adventure. I was born in Madison, Wisconsin, and then when I was two, we moved to very rural southern Indiana and lived there amid the corn and soybean fields until I was going into seventh grade. And that's when we moved to the Cleveland area, to the east side of Cleveland, the Chardon, Bainbridge area, and went to St. Helena Newberry out there and then NDCL as well. Although Trisha graduated the year before I entered, so we did not cross paths at NDCL out there. And that's a recurring theme actually in how we're meeting or not meeting. And NDCL. And then I felt a call to the priesthood, and I will get in this, and then I put that off for a while and entered the seminary in 2010 and spent 6.5 years there.
Mm-hmm. Now, you're saying prayer, important part of the family life or example, or tell me about that.
It was, yes. Both my parents were very active in the faith, I would say. My mother more so outwardly. I would say she was more of the external spiritual leader, you know. But yes, Mass was very important. The only time we missed Mass growing up was the big snowstorm of the 90s out in southern Indiana, when we had about 6 to 10 feet of snow. And so we literally could not get out of the driveway. And that was literally the only time we missed Mass on Sunday. So that was the commitment, daily rosary as a family on Sundays. So that was the That was our commitment. That was our thing.
You think we as parents expect less of our children because, again, being as old as I am, there wasn't a lot of catechesis. It was like, because I said so. And in that regard, I think we're doing a better job. But the expectation, the bar was pretty high, that for at least for us.
Yeah, I agree 100%. I think that was even something I reflected on over Christmas. This past Christmas, we were at my parents' and we have the Christmas traditions and such. And I've noticed how some of them with my siblings are starting to fall away. And I think part of that is there's just the why. We don't know why. Like, you know, so my parents are wonderful and that sort of thing. But in all of our growing up, you know, sometimes we don't dive into the why as much. And if so, you don't dive into the why, then you don't keeping it going, just that it just kind of falls away because you don't have an idea of why you're doing it in the first place. So yeah, I agree. That's so important to not just that we do this because we do it. It's like, no, why do we do this? Why is it important? Why does it matter?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Trish, where'd you go to school after high school?
Yeah, I went to Kent State University and didn't do a whole lot there. Graduated with a bachelor's in sociology and love the study of sociology. But I think more of my time was taken up. I was volunteering with Life Teen parishes in the diocese and then also working full-time in retail and enjoying that quite a bit. So I think most of my college experience was outside of college, mm-hmm. I'd say.
Yeah. The Life Teen is so important. These kids at those age, a lot of them don't know where they're going.
I think
they need direction.
It was a saving grace for me. It was a home. It was a home for me. In high school, for sure, and so in college and then after college as a director for teen faith formation, I wanted to be sure that every teen possible had access to that home as well.
Mm-hmm. Phil, do you have similar experiences coming on up with programming in your parish?
You know, at St. Helen, I was very active Life Teen, and it was not for lack of trying that the youth minister tried to get me involved with that, but mm-hmm. starting in eighth grade, coming out of a confirmation project, actually, my mother got me involved with volunteering at the Geauga Lyric Theater Guild in Chardon. And so that's when I fell in love with my AV background instead mm-hmm. of doing audio and all that sort of stuff. So in theater, I mean, as people know, like, you're committed. It's a lot of rehearsal. And so that took up the bulk of my time in high school was the theater. So I was not too involved through the high school in that sort of thing, though that is when the kind of pull to priesthood started to arise was in high school.
Mm-hmm. Was it kind of a nagging thing that kept recurring or?
Yeah. So a sophomore year of high school, and I had fallen asleep, and it was about a half hour after I fell asleep, and suddenly I woke to this voice in my heart that what it said to me was, the Lord is calling you to be a priest. And I said out loud right on the moment, I said no, because literally the month.
I hear that a lot.
Yes, out loud, right there in my room. And I actually physically turned towards the wall after that. You know, I kind of turned away. Mm-hmm. And so it was a very, you know, physical representation of what I was internally thinking at the time. Partially because I had been, you know, wanting to have a serious dating relationship for a long time. And literally a month prior to that, I had started my first one in high school. So I was like, oh, perfect timing, great. And that started a time of just, I kind of depression and that sort of thing, just because, you know, I felt this pull is very strong, like this hook was on my heart and always kind of pulled me. But I, you know, said to the Lord, like, you know what, that's nice, but I'm going to go in this direction. So mm-hmm. just push in this direction. And I kept pursuing the sound stuff and the AV stuff I was doing. So, yeah.
Is there almost like a guilt because you're saying, you're not really saying no, but it's like, it's a blessing to have that call.
Right.
But then you're going, well, I feel guilty for saying no, but I'm not doing it.
Yeah. It wasn't my plan. That was the thing. You know, I had a plan. I was, you know, I'd seen my parents' loving relationship and marriage. And so that was the plan. I'm the oldest of six children. And so in my mind, I was having a decent sized family. And that was the plan. And I started the sound stuff that mm-hmm. I enjoyed and started this business actually with my friend in high school. And so that was the plan. And so I was going to work that plan. And so that's what I did. And just kind of push that call off to the side, you know, like, all right, Lord, that's nice.
Yeah, but not for me right now.
Yeah, exactly.
I hear that very similar story very, very often on the program. If you guys will stay with us, and we hope our listeners will too, on God Calling right here on AM 1260 The Rock, Cleveland Catholic Radio. Trish and Phil Lewandowski joining us on God Calling. I'm Paul Orlowski. And Trish, how did you guys meet?
Yeah, how did we meet? So I suppose somewhere along your time in the seminary, our paths just happened to cross.
Wasn't that Arizona the very first time when we were introduced by a mutual priest friend of ours? I don't remember this meeting.
Oh,
I was informed. This was at the Life Teen Youth Conference, right, in Arizona. And
was that the first time we met?
I think it was.
So, right. So I was then, in that case, director for teen faith formation at St. Mary of the Falls. And If that's the first time we met, then I had already been there for a number of years, you know, 5-6 mm-hmm. years or something. So pretty veteran as youth ministers
sure,
go.
Sure.
And had been taking core members, seminarians from my parish out to Arizona for the annual training convention with mm-hmm. Life Teen, which for me was really an annual retreat and really, you know, what gave me the filled tank mm-hmm. get through the rest of the year. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's a big deal for me, that annual convention.
Okay.
And so out there for the summer, and so then it would have been Ron Nowak, I assume, who would have had you out there. Yeah. Doing an intern year at their parish, and so working with Life Teen with them.
Right, so I was there, and this is what I'm told. Again, I don't remember it, but mm-hmm. We were introduced, and I don't remember being introduced, so that was the first time we crossed paths was there.
Sure.
Trish, I don't think you made much of an impression.
Well,
you know, so that first time around.
Yes, it happened again.
Well, and so, right, and so...
you mentioned that this is a recurring theme, yeah.
Uh-huh. And so,
go ahead.
And so if that was the first time, yeah, I was... My recollection of it then would be that I was in conversation with someone else who I was hoping to have more than casual mm-hmm. conversation with, right?
Okay.
And so this would likely then have been perhaps an interruption to that okay. to all that right. conversation that I was hoping to continue
okay.
with this other young gentleman, right?
Okay.
And so Phil being in the seminary, you know, on the one hand, not at all a threat to this. On the other hand, like, okay. You know, get off my game. Like, we don't need to be interrupting this, right? So certainly, if that was the first time we met, and then my recollection of the beginning of our friendship was more that I had learned of Phil's AV background, and being in ministry, I would come upon audio needs
sure.
frequently. And so I at one point needed a new sound system. I knew I had a budget. I knew the space that I had, I knew the need that I had, and I knew the amount of money that I had, but I didn't know what to do with it. So I thought, oh, this will be great. I'll turn to the seminarian who probably won't require a stipend from me to come out and do some consulting and help me use this budget to the best
sure.
to get what we need. And not only did he do that, but then came out to deliver it and help me set it up and learn how to use it. And then from there, I had this contact. And so when we had events, I was quick to say, hey, maybe I can call Phil and he can come set up the sound
this
stuff
price
so
is right.
I can do everything else. Exactly. The price was exactly right. Mm-hmm. But that was, I mean, it was, it's hard really, truly even to call it a friendship at that point. It was a bit of a working relationship. And I was, yeah, exactly. I was grateful for the price.
Yeah. The seminary, clearly, you were in for a long time and mm-hmm. it's continual from talking to other priests and seminarians. It's constantly discerning over and over and over. And you got to be sure.
Yeah.
So what was that process like for you?
Yeah. So once I finally just said, after I'd been 3 years out of high school, you know, I still felt that pull. And I had that moment where I'm out with the band doing sound. It's 2 a.m. and I'm exhausted. And I look at the stage after the band just finished in this bar. And I'm just 2,000 pounds of equipment that I, again, have to tear down, load up into my van, and go home, you know? And in that moment, I just said, all right, Lord, I give up. Let's do this your way. So that was the moment where I just said, okay, mm-hmm. I'm going to go on a come and see weekend at the seminary, and I'm going to give this a shot. Let's do it your way. And that was the turning point where life just became this crazy adventure, because it became very clear that, okay, that's where the Lord wanted me, was at the seminary. I felt a sense of home, a sense of peace. I knew that's where the Lord wanted me to be there. And so that was just the discernment through the years, was like, all right, Lord, just, you know, keep on one more year. And unless you show me a different plan, I think you're calling me to priesthood. And mm-hmm. through that time, there were these little things that would come up, especially after 3 or 4 years, where it's like, okay, this is interesting. Like, it doesn't feel as fitting as well. Like, a big thing was when I was out at parishes doing field ed work, like, it felt a little bit like trying to put a square peg in a round mm-hmm. hole, a little bit, not to the point of like, oh my gosh, I'm not called to be a priest, but that's where the discernment, you know, started to pop up and that sort of thing. It was honestly, it through 6 years in the seminary, Borromeo and then St. Mary's, and part of an internship, I just assumed, okay, Lord, this is where you're calling me to be a priest, and all these other desires and that sort of thing, you can fulfill it. You're the God of love. You only want what's good for me. So all these things that are unsettled in my heart, you can take care of them as long as I allow you to. So mm-hmm. that's where I was at. And then the Lord changed things very quickly
yeah.
in a matter of a very short period. Yep. Yeah.
Is that, that's, I suspect, difficult, but at the same point in time, you don't want to make a mistake. You don't want to promise to be someone you can't be.
Oh, that was horrid, the discernment. Like, it was an intense 5 or 6 months with a lot of spiritual battle and spiritual attack. Just because, right, I explained it to a priest friend of mine, Father Patrick Schultz, who actually married us, that I felt like this ping pong ball in the evil one's hands, because I'm discerning between two good things, two beautiful things, equal vocations, you know? And so on the one hand, I'm like, okay, I've got a lot of affirmation from the faculty, like, you know, you'd make a wonderful priest and that sort of thing, and people in parishes. And so it's like, all right, I don't want to let these people down.
Sure.
But then on the other hand, there's this beautiful desire that just came out of nowhere that the Lord inspired me. Really, it was the desire to lay down my life for Tricia. That was this beautiful desire that I was like, oh my gosh, that's another wonderful, beautiful thing.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'd just be bouncing between these two things. And so that time of discernment was horrid. But the funny thing is, coming out of that, after I realized that one of the desires of the male heart is to fight, to battle for the beloved. And so in a real sense, like, God gave me the opportunity to fight in a very real way for Tricia, my beloved. It was in an odd way, just the spiritual, very intense at times battles, but he allowed me to do that. And so that was an incredible fulfillment of a desire of my heart.
I know our audience is on the edge of their seats waiting to hear about the first date, which we're going to talk about when we come back on God Calling, right here on AM 1260 The Rock, Cleveland Catholic Radio. Trish and Phil Lewandowski joining us on God Calling. And you guys met. How long did you date before you got married?
We dated for three or four months before we were engaged, and about a year before we were married.
Total.
That was about 15 months, so I can relate.
Yeah.
Know the feeling. You've been blessed.
Yes,
truly.
What would be called a decent-sized family by today's standards, which is wonderful. Tell me about the kids.
Sure. So we have boy-girl twins, Max and Stella, are 4 years old. They were honeymoon babies.
Mm-hmm.
I thought we both were praying for twins. I think it's possible I alone was praying for twins. And boom, there they were. They were about 5.5 months old, I think, when I started avoiding taking pregnancy tests, which would have all been hardcore positive for Abraham Joseph, who is now 3.
Mm-hmm.
And then our COVID baby, Regina Chaley, is 18 months.
I see you with your arms full at Mass from time to time.
That's right. Yes.
Actually, this says something about during the commercial break, you're on the phone with the doctor's office.
That's so true.
They definitely, even if they don't mean to, control your life and what you do. And but it's a joy.
It's wild and wonderful.
Enjoy. Now, being at those ages, it's still a little bit maybe young for formal prayer. But how do you, Phil? How do you start to evangelize your own children?
Yeah, so some of the things we do, we actually talk about Jesus a lot. It's one of my first memories, and Trish, you can jump in here, but very young, I don't know, it was like 1, 1.5, like we showed them, we had crucifixes around, and we'd say Jesus, and Max started very quickly pointing and saying Jesus.
Mm.
And so that was one of the first things, just introducing Jesus. And so then when we were at church, which is called Jesus House, again, they'd go see the crucifix, then to get to the point of kissing the crucifix.
Kissing Jesus' boo-boos.
Yeah, kissing Jesus' boo-boos.
That's cute.
So it's just very organic. And of course, we pray at mealtime, and then it was mealtime, as you can imagine, is just, it's crazy and horrible. But one day I decided, you know, I was helping to lead prayer. I was like, you know what, maybe it'll settle them down if I ask them to lead prayer. So that for a bit, like just one at a time, they'd each help to lead prayer sort of time, just going in the rounds. And so we do that. Yeah. So, and honestly, it's just been little things like that. What are some other things you?
Well, I mean, the Mary statue in the garden, and we do have a picture of Max. Probably right around 18 months at their original Montessori, mm-hmm. Out for a walk, which was at a church. And so there was a large Mary statue. And so he's, you know, pointing and lifting up to Mary. So early to identify and say Jesus, but I think Max's affinity has been to Mama Mary, you know, all along, which is cool and really a huge part of our story. And so really beautiful to see that reflected in the firstborn. Stella, though, does recite formal prayers. So Stella Maurice, named for, you know, Our Lady Star of the Sea. And so I sing the Hail Mary to all of the children. And it started, you know, when they were crying incessantly as infants, and I didn't know what else to do, right? Like, I just start singing the Hail Mary, like, I don't know, figure this out. So still sing that to Stella every night at bedtime, and so now she sings along with us.
Sure.
But even starting to recite the Our Father and certainly the mealtime prayer. Yeah, so the three-year-old last night led the mealtime prayer pretty well on his own. But I think it is mostly just really organic things, and, keeping it up in conversation, going to visit Jesus' house even when there isn't Mass, just as a place to to know that they're home.
Do you find time to pray together with a house full like this? That's got to be getting a shoehorn to schedule some time.
It's a challenge, yeah. I don't think we do as good praying together as we could do, for sure. I think that's something that couples, you know, should make a priority to find that time to pray together. You know, for me, the prayer time has definitely been, I have 2 hours of driving each day out to St. Joseph and Avon Lake. So that's the time where that's my monastery cell. And so I'm able to use that for prayer. But yeah, no, it's a good nudge for me to remind us to.
Was that kind of a recall from Jesus after the seminary, now the marriage, the children, and now you're out at St. Joseph's as a pastoral assistant, I believe is the title?
That's right, yeah.
So basically, he runs the place, right, Trish?
Yes. Yeah.
Don't tell Father Ron.
No, I think Father Ron hired him for it, you know? Yeah, COO,
it's a busy place.
I'd say. Yeah,
it's a busy, busy place. Mm-hmm. But did that harken back to that original call when you were in your 20s?
Yeah, like the ministry out there and such? Yes. You know, actually, that's something I've been pondering lately is when I was in the seminary, how I mentioned, like, it felt at times like putting a square peg into a round hole. Like, why the ministry now feels so much different. Mm-hmm. Like, I feel at home, and it's so life-giving, and I'm still pondering that. But for me, it's just that example of, like, holy cow, how the Lord takes us on an adventure and uses our gifts and talents in so many ways. Because now in this ministry, in this job, I'm using that ministry stuff from the seminary. It's so beneficial, and I'm still using the AV stuff in so many ways.
Sure.
And you know, and I got to do sound for the Cleveland Youth Conference at John Carroll this past weekend, and it's just how he takes everything, all that we are in our gifts, and he just lights it on fire if we allow him to do that. He doesn't want to take anything from us. You know, he wants to light us on fire and allow us to love through it, all our gifts and talents.
Trish, I talk to a lot of deacons and their wives here on the program, and the wives are giving up a part of their husband's time, part of their together time.
This is
very similar, although a different calling, but lots of hours and the two-hour commute each day.
Right. Yeah. We have a very close deacon friend. And certainly I would say that he talks openly about the fact that it's, you know, it needs to be a calling for both husband and wife. Right. Mm-hmm. And actually my mom teaches a class for the permanent deacons at the seminary as they're going through their formation. And it is a class. It's a class for both husband and wife. I think we feel strongly that all of our life is both of us.
Mm-hmm.
His work and my work, our children, our home, you know, our social life. It all requires 100% from both of us. Even though his name's not listed at Cleveland Clinic anywhere, it takes his commitment for me to do a good job at my job also.
Mm-hmm.
We're just in the whole thing together.
That's all right. In every day.
That's right.
Clearly, we have lots of resources at St. Joseph, stjosephavonlake.org, I think, isn't it?
That's correct.
And Phil handles a lot of that stuff.
Yeah.
If there's something wrong on the AV upstairs, call Phil.
That's right.
It's probably something I did incorrectly. It's probably what it is. In any case, guys, thanks very much for coming in, Trish. Nice to see you formally with your arms not full of children.
Yes.
And Phil, we see one another all the time, clearly. But this is God Calling. Phil and Trish Lewandowski joining us for this week. We hope you will join us each and every week at the same time on AM 1260 The Rock, Cleveland Catholic Radio, for God Calling.
What do you want me to do? Why am I here? You're here on this planet for a reason. What do you want me to do? Why am I here?
Hello? Hello? Who is this?
This is God Calling.
Thank you for listening to God Calling here on AM 1260 The Rock. This locally produced program is dedicated to looking closer at religious vocations, from the priesthood to marriage, from parenting to the single life. If you miss any part of today's program or you just want to listen again, go to our website, am1260therock.com, and click on the On Demand tab.
The preceding program was a production of St. Peter the Rock Media and is brought to you by you. If you liked it, consider making a donation and supporting Catholic radio programming on AM 1260 The Rock.
Click on the orange donate button at am1260therock.com.